My guest at this time is Brigitte Gabriel, author most recently of the book They Must Be Stopped, Why We Must Defeat Radical Islam and How We Can Do It. She's also the founder of ActForAmerica.org. Brigitte was born in Lebanon and has been a victim of terrorism personally in her life. We want to get her reaction to some of the major developments in the last couple of days in the Middle East, particularly North Africa, where the transitional government in Libya has announced that it will embrace a radical Sharia law, and Islamists are believed to be the leading vote-getters so far in Tunisia. And Brigitte, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, I'm delighted to be with you.
How surprised should we be by the fact that this coalition of rebels in Libya that the United States and NATO supported have moved away from elections that should have been early next year back to about a year or 2 years from now and very publicly embracing Sharia law?
It is very disturbing, but then again, we're not surprised, Greg. We have heard about this. Most of us who monitor the region knew this all along. From we jumped into Libya, pouring $1 billion to practically now usher in an Islamic regime. From whatever little we knew about the rebels, we knew that they were working with Al-Qaeda. We knew that 20% of the people of the insurgents we arrested in Iraq fighting against us were from Libya. So we knew that Al-Qaeda had a base there and was recruiting from these rebels who had affiliations with Al-Qaeda. We knew that the Muslim Brotherhood was working for 30 years in Libya. And all of a sudden now we helped the rebels overthrow Gaddafi and usher in a new regime. We did exactly the same mistake we did in Afghanistan when the United States helped the Taliban by pouring millions of dollars to help them defeat the Russians, thinking we are going to work with them to overthrow the Russians and get them out of Afghanistan, only to be rewarded back with terrorism from the same people we trained. We're seeing the same thing happen in Libya right now. Unfortunately, history is repeating itself.
Brigitte, there's obviously a school of argument. You may hear it, in fact, from the administration that the people of Libya have a chance to determine their own destiny. And perhaps, while it certainly wouldn't be the destiny that most Americans would choose, maybe they want an Islamist-type government with Sharia law. How do you respond to that?
That's exactly what they want, and we knew all along that they wanted that. The decisions we made with Libya basically prove that this administration lacks the knowledge necessary to conduct foreign policy that is going to be beneficial to the United States in the short term and in the long term. We knew that Libya basically was three tribes put together, three major tribes represented by the three major cities. What united the Libyans together was their hatred for Gaddafi. Now that they overthrow Gaddafi, they're going to turn against each other. But what we know for sure is that the majority of them come together and agree on one thing, and that is wanting an Islamic government. Their affinity and their loyalty to their religion triumphs over everything. We should have known that going in, but unfortunately this administration underestimated the makeup of the Libyan people, what they want, what their goals are, what their background, and, you know, we jumped in, and I believe it's not going to be good for the United States in the coming years concerning Libya.
Do you think that this will be a government, however it's constructed, that will embrace terrorism? It's one thing for a nation that we help to embrace a radical form of Sharia law, but if it's within their own borders, some Americans may not have a problem with that, but if they end up embracing a radical ideology that extends to our own borders, that's something very different. Do you suspect that they will embrace that?
That's what we are concerned about. And again, from whatever little we know about the rebels, we know that they were working with Al-Qaeda, like I said, in Iraq. 20% of the people we have arrested were Libyans. This was the second largest group after the Saudis. We know that 85% of the suicide bombers in Iraq were Libyans. So this tells us that these rebels already have Islamic tendencies and already have tendencies to be involved with groups against the United States. What's most concerning right now, Greg, is that we know that the weapons that Gaddafi had, we know at least of 30 tons of mustard gas that right now will be in the black market to the highest bidder to buy it. We know that terrorist groups are organizing. They are very well funded, and they are looking for such weapons, including Iran. So it's very easy to see how organized radical Islamic groups who have the funding are going to come together to be able to form basically a base in North Africa. We're seeing the writing on the wall already in Tunisia, already in Libya, in other parts of the region. And that's why we are concerned about Libya. And that's why we believe that, like you said, if they want to have Sharia law in their own country that does not affect the United States, that's their choice. But what affects the United States right now is their radical Islamic visions of bringing back and establishing the Islamic Caliphate, where they're going to get the weapons together to try to fight the United States in order to usher in their caliphate.
Let's move to Tunisia now. That's certainly where this Arab Spring movement seemed to have started, but it doesn't get a lot of attention. As I mentioned in the open, there are elections going on there now, and it appears that Islamists who were the opposition in the previous regime are likely to gain power. I've seen some folks on cable news channels suggest this is sort of a moderate Islamist approach that's not like the Taliban, but I know you've studied it. What can you tell us about the folks who are likely to take charge in Tunisia?
Well, the Nahda movement in Tunisia, which means the awakening, it's the equivalent of the Muslim Brotherhood movement in Egypt. They are the radical, devout Islamists who also want to usher in Sharia law. Now, what is troubling about Tunisia is here we had a country that was the most moderate, progressive country in the Islamic world where prostitution is legal. As a matter of fact, the government paid the health insurance for prostitutes. That's unheard of in Islam. Countries. So right now, for us to see that the Nahda movement is basically about to take over 25% to 35% victory in the upcoming elections, which basically is exactly parallel to what's happening with the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, that is troubling. But here is the reason why. I had dinner a few months ago with one of the leaders of the Tunisian revolution who had just gotten back from Tunisia to the United States. And he said to me that he was so troubled by what he saw in Tunisia. He was there visiting family. And he said Al-Qaeda and other Islamic groups were basically setting up tables in major cities downtown and literally handing money to people who wanted it. And the $10,000 packet saying to them, here is money, build your house, start a business, whatever you want to do. No accountability. We'll check with you within a few months. We are here if you need us. So what they did is they basically established kind of like Islamic centers where they bought their way into society and purchased influence. And this is why we're seeing the groups like Nahda in Tunisia right now taking over their revolution, which started as a progressive moderate revolution. And now only the organized radicals are basically moving into controlling the country and having the political structure to be able to move in as an organized political structure to influence decisions.
We're talking with Brigitte Gabriel, founder of Act for America. She is also the author of They Must Be Stopped. And Brigitte, last little bit of time here, and let's move on to Syria. That seems to be the area of the most instability now that Libya, at least for the as far as the Gaddafi regime, that fighting is over. What do you make of the standoff between Assad and the demonstrators there? Assad, of course, known to have terror links with Hezbollah and Iran and so forth. Obviously, we have protesters that, again, most of us don't know much about. So how do you handicap that situation?
Well, what's keeping Assad in power right now is basically the Iranian support. They are propping him. Iran immediately went in to support Assad when the revolution started in Syria by basically sending troops from Lebanon, Hezbollah troops, into Syria, fighting the Syrian people on the street to basically protect Assad. As long as Iran is this strong, and Iran has been just strengthened even more by Obama's announcement to withdraw our troops from Iraq, basically Iran knows that within a matter of few months, a couple months, it's going to have complete hegemony over Iraq, and that will give it complete access to Syria, where they're going to be able to defend and support President Assad from any American intrusion or American working with the demonstrators in Syria. We know the demonstrators in Syria are basically Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood has been very active in Syria. They tried to rise against his father, Hafez al-Assad, back 30, 40 years ago, and he ended up bulldozing 30,000 of them in the city of Hama. So 90% of Syria is basically Sunni Muslim. And they are Muslim Brotherhood, and they want to overthrow Assad. But Iran is going to keep him up. Iran is strengthened right now, especially after this weekend. It's going to be difficult to see how things are going to develop, but it doesn't look promising.
Brigitte, as always, we appreciate your great insights into these critical issues. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. Brigitte Gabrielle is author of They Must Be Stopped, Why We Must Defeat Radical Islam and How We Can Do It. She's also the founder of Act for America, which you can find online at actforamerica.org. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.